fk.org.
Night on, lady bright, in the arms of night.
The icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. Please go there, click on all my articles. Don't click on anybody else's. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, Michelle Spencer, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a radio veteran, a practicing attorney, and an owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata, and an RX-8. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, how are you? I'm back, and good to be with you and Ricardo again.
It was H-E double hockey sticks without you last week, Michelle, so don't ever go away again. We'll treat you better, we promise. I'm sure I speak for our co-host here, and that is our good friend and an actual race car driver, a motorcyclist, and another automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of Hispanic Motor Press, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Welcome, Ricardo.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And again, there's so many events to talk about. Oh, we're so lucky to be in Southern California.
It's year-round fun, and especially here in the sunny weather that we've been having. May in the rest of the world, in the Northern Hemisphere, they really appreciate it. We get it pretty much all year round. So remember, though, we're going to list off a bunch of events that we think you will like, but we want to abscond from responsibility. If you get there and it's raining and they canceled it, just be sure and check the weather conditions. You could also, we always try to get the website of the event. So check that out before you go. But we have a lot of really cool events, and we are going to start out with one right here in Pasadena from our friend Ricardo. He's going to tell us about it. Ricardo, what is it?
Well, tomorrow, the Prancing Horse, is that correct? We have Concorso Pasadena coming back to downtown Pasadena, and it's been wonderful in previous years, so I expect it's going to be the same. I'm told that they're shutting down three blocks on Colorado Boulevard, and they expect, well, I know there is, they put a limit of 100 cars to be judged because it will be some sort of Concorso, right? But there will be probably another 50 Ferraris on display. So if you like Italian cars, if you like the Italian flair, I'm sure there will be some Ducatis around as well. This is a wonderful event, and it's totally free, and it starts about 10 a.m. There are a lot of restaurants just next to it, so you can have a wonderful, wonderful day. So definitely, Mark, I know you've been at that show, and it's always very enjoyable, and they do a great job in terms of organizing the event.
They have. It's the Ferrari Club of America Southwest Region that is putting it on. They, our friend Jim Bindman is there. He will be there. There will be, like Ricardo said, over 100 Ferraris up and down the street. I have seen the list. They do. It's not all 355s, right, Ricardo?
Oh, no. There will be vintage cars. I mean, Ferraris of all ages. And that's what makes this event interesting. You're not looking at supercars, new cars. There's, I would say, 70% are what we call classic Ferraris. And that's always nice to see.
It is cool. Our friends from Pro Italia, the Italian motorcycle shop up in, Glendale? They will be there. And as Ricardo said, there will be a lot of Ducatis there. Ricardo himself has, I don't know how many Ducatis, so he's a collector, if you know. I will not be bringing my Lancia Appia because it's not a Ferrari and it's not running. Most old Italian cars here in America. But I have been many, many years. I think it's, I forget how many years it's been going on, but I've been to probably most of them, if not all of them. It was canceled, of course, during COVID, like so many things were. It is back and better than ever. They used to incorporate this event the last several years with the San Marino Concours, but they are doing it, bringing it back as its own separate event. Tomorrow, Sunday, May 5th, Old Town Pasadena on Colorado Boulevard, 10 to 3, Ferraris galore. Also some Ducatis, right?
Hold on. This afternoon, if you're in a different type of horses, at the City of Industry Expo Center, it's the Fair of the Spanish Horse, the famous Andalusian horse, the Feria del Caballo Andaluz. It's tonight and tomorrow. So you're going to be pretty close. And if you want to see something spectacular, because these are real horses. Yeah, it will be 1 horsepower, but real, real horses. So who knows? I hope I see some of my friends' car nuts at that event as well.
What is a horsepower anyway? It's the amount of what energy or effort required to lift something by certain amount.
That is correct. But now yeah. You're calling me and I have to check. But yes. The formula is the amount of the weight that a horse could elevate when he moved. I think it was 30 meters or 50 meters.
Okay.
And I want to say it was 100 kilograms, but I might be completely off. But
all right,
we should know okay. These, huh?
Okay. Who wants to do the Warbirds? This looks pretty cool.
Oh, well, I'll do it. And okay. The reason why is because I'm such a sucker for anything in Paso Robles. So it's a wonderful place to go. And there's this wonderful museum up there that a lot of people already know about, the Estrella Warbirds Museum, which also, by the way, has a car museum attached to it. So with the vintage sprint cars and all kinds of vintage race cars there. But anywho, they're having a huge party this weekend. It kicks off Friday night with their barn dance, and they do have live music there. You have to buy special tickets for that, but you can still drive up on Saturday if you miss the barn dance and Sunday. And
this is May 10th, Saturday.
Oh, May 10th. Sorry, May 10th.
May 10th. Halloween weekend. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend, right?
So Mother's Day weekend. Yes.
Yeah, Mother's Day weekend. Take mom.
There you go.
Because there's lots of wineries up there, right? Just give mom a bunch of wine. She won't care where she is.
That's true.
And your mother's-in-law, why not? There's wonderful, wonderful wineries in that area.
Of course, the mother's-in-law.
Of course, you always forget about that. It's so
that was a TV show in the 60s, The Mothers-in-Law, or maybe the 70s.
Yeah. That's why sports cars are turning into SUVs. You know, it's the thing to have right now is a big SUV like a Bentley Bentayga or, you know, a Rolls-Royce Cullinan or something like that. The way you can bring your mother-in-law. And Paso Robles, you cannot go wrong with a Cabernet from Paso Robles.
True.
That's Ricardo true. Is a wine expert, so there you have it. Do you have a particular brand that you recommend, as long as we're sending people up to Paso Robles? A brand of wine, Cabernet?
I think there are plenty of good Cabernets in Paso Robles, so I guess it would be very hard to pick up. There is no bad Cabernet in Paso Robles. They do a great job.
Well, if you want to do just the basic, go to Justin. Start with Justin.
Justin, that's a Cabernet? Shows you what I know. All right.
Oh,
so that's Warbird. What's the Warbird's wing? Maybe it's
wheels.
Warbird wings and wheels. 15
for,
suggesting
for the whole
that this
weekend.
Is,
yes.
Is it, there have been 14 before this. And that's going to be, where is that? Oh, I got the address here. 4251 Dry Creek Road, Paso Robles. That's right north of the, what is it? The 41 goes through there. Or is it the 46? The main road that you take from Interstate 5 over to the 101.
46. 46.
Yeah, it's right off of that. And there are signs. There will be a lot of signs up there. If you want to look at the website, it is ewarbirds.org. ewarbirds.org. You don't want to miss that. May 11th is the Sunday. So I have both May 10th and 11th. Is it both? It's both days.
Yes, both days. And then if you want to add on the Friday with the barn dance to warm things up. Get to know people. That's the thing to do. Go for 3 days.
I'm not a barn dancer. I don't know. Okay.
You should be because it's fun.
Ricardo, you want to take the Peterson Museum?
Well, if you don't want to drive up to Paso Robles next weekend, then, you know, just go to the Peterson Museum. There's a new show opening. It's called Best in Low. and it is all about the low riders. And again, I'm always amazed at the craftsmanship on all these vehicles. Definitely, if you're not familiar with this, you need to take a look. The Peterson Museum always is putting out, it seems like every exhibit is better than the previous ones. So kudos to them. They're really bringing the best of the best. And we're so lucky that we're in Los Angeles, which is the center of the car culture. And lowrider, it's part of our culture. You know, amazing craftsmanship. Again, you have to see. I'm always surprised by the paint jobs. You know, it's just so delicate, so many layers, the colors. It's something that that I really enjoy. And the people take so much pride on these cars. It's just amazing. It's been going on for now 50 years. So it's going to be another outstanding event at the Peterson, right at Fairfax and Wilshire. And
it's on May 12th. Night. It's Sunday, May 12th. They have a preview party, right? The night before, is that it?
Yes, on Saturday afternoon, they have the preview that it starts at 4 o'clock. So from 4 to 8 is the opening of the show. And then it will run for, I think it's for a couple of months.
But, okay, and best you can, low, if you go to the, if, yes, go ahead.
No, the best in low. That's the name of the show.
Okay, if you go to the preview, be sure. It's really cool because they have the builders there. They have experts from the Peterson Museum there you can talk to. So be sure and check that out. I myself am going to a press preview, I think, on that Thursday before that. So I'll get a little bit of a heads up on that. And then I can do a live report, not a live report, but a report about the cars that we see. And if you look at peterson.org, that's all E's in Peterson.org. You can see some pictures of some of the cars that'll be there. And it looks like Gypsy Rose will be there, one of the most famous lowriders ever. But there's also a nice collection of different Chevrolets there with some beautiful engraving. I'm looking at, oh, and there's a motorcycle. It's just great. And as Ricardo says, the paint jobs are really unbelievable. I don't know how they do that. It's an art.
And while you're there, the Motorama show is still going on. So that's another opportunity to see some of those GM products that were created between 1958 or until 61. The Motorama show was this on the road show that they will bring in these concept cars in the early 60s, very futuristic. And what I love about some of the cars that I've seen there at the Peterson, that some are completely unrestored. It's a miracle they're still around. That alone is worth the trip to the Peterson the next weekend.
There's a lot going on there. There's also a lot going on down in Orange County. Now, my pass expired, so I can't go to Orange County anymore. But Michelle is down there. Tell us what's coming up Saturday, May 11th.
Actually, I have a date correction on that, Mark. It's actually May 18th.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry about that. I put it on wrong.
Well, we haven't said what the event is, so that's okay. So go ahead. Start at the top.
Well, this hits on all my cylinders because it's an Orange County event, but it's also a Porsche event. And this is 356 Day at the Lion Air Museum in Santa Ana. And this is put on by the 356 Club of Southern California. And it's annual Porsche 356 Day. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, or it says 9 o'clock on their website. I'm getting a little conflicting information here because there was another place where it said it started at 10 and ended at noon. So this is a very short window of time. The registration page for lionairmuseum.org is where you have to go register if you're going to show your car. And that the instructions there said get in at 8 o'clock and show starts at 10. So they will have a coffee truck and some pastry trucks and things on site if you want to get something to eat. But basically, this is the big day to put everything on the tarmac right next to the vintage aircraft. So it's really a great event. It does cost $35 to show your car, and you can register at lionairmuseum.org if you want to attend. You do have to pay for that too. It's $14 for spectators, and a discount if you're a veteran or over 60, it's $11.
Hey, I could get in for $11. Yes, finally.
Yes.
I do have a question, and perhaps it's a cultural misunderstanding from myself, but why when we attend with our vehicles to a car show, we have to pay. Since we already have the investment on the vehicle,
there's a lot of expenses. For the gasoline. There are a lot of expenses in a car show. I mean, you got to rent the porta potties, you got to hire security, you got to sometimes you have to rent the facility. I think that that's the case in Woodley Park. I think you have to pay for that. There are a lot of expenses. So,
yeah,
most of these things are not money makers. These are just a way to celebrate the cars that we all love. And I don't mind, I wouldn't mind paying $14 to go to this Lion Museum. Looks like they're going to roll out they have a B-17, they have a B-25, they've got what is that thing? It's called an Invader. B-26, they're just amazing looking cars. They roll those out so you can look at those, and they park all the cars among them. It's just a fantastic day. It's worth $14, I think. So I don't know. That's my take on it. But, you know, it's okay to be outraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't talking about the expected. I was thinking of when you take your car, you have to pay to bring the car.
Yeah. I paid $20 when I finally got that Italian thing running to get into the best of France and Italy. So, and I did not mind because it had taken me 6 years to get that heap in running order. And of course, now it's dead. I don't want to obsess over that. But
last year.
If you want to see something that you don't have to pay to go and see this. And this is, again, if you have not been at Lake El Mirage, that's definitely something that you have to do, because we are in Southern California. We're in, you know, the land of the hot rods, where all started. There was a Muroc Lake and El Mirage Lakes, and the other lake next to Palmdale that I forget the name. But between those three lakes was the birth of the hot rods. And SCTA, it's having their first event 2 weeks from now. On May 18, 19. It's a wonderful park. I'm hoping that it's going to be a day without wind, because when the wind blows, it gets a cloud of that white dust that covers the whole lake. But it's unbelievable. You have to see the characters that put their lives in jeopardy to beat world speed records. And you have guys in motorcycles trying to go 300 kilometers an hour and cars going 200 miles an hour. And all kinds of mechanical, interesting concoctions, I would say, because I've seen so many creative machinery at these events that definitely you want to go at least one time. And who knows, you might get hooked into this and start building your own.
There's a lot going on at El Mirage Dry Lake. I go up there sometimes, and there are guys with those land sailors, sailboats for the land. And I got to pilot one, whatever you guys. It was fun. But yeah, SCTA and BNI, that's Southern California Timing Association, and Bonneville Nationals, I think, Inc., are holding. They have released their calendar. You can see the whole calendar at scta.bni.org. The first event, as Ricardo says, May 18th and 19th, two-day event at El Mirage. And then they have events at El Mirage throughout the year, and including one at Bonneville for Speed Week, August 3rd through 9th. So there's a lot going on. It's a really cool organization. It's been around. I think it was founded by Wally Parks, the great Wally Parks, who also founded the NHRA. He would be the first one to tell you, I didn't found it. It was, you know, the work of many others, but Wally was certainly an integral part of that. So there's, you know, Southern California hot rodding history is out there. And some of the old time original guys, the OGs, will be out there. Some of them even running cars still. So it's always good to see people up there doing that. I just had, not to name drop, but I had breakfast with Alex Exidius, founder of the SoCal Speed Shop. He founded that. He got back from the Army Air Corps and founded that in 1946, and they made their name and reputation on the dry lakes, the first ones to 150 miles per hour. And if you can imagine going 150 miles per hour on the tires they had then, on the, you know, there was no fire suit. Alex wore a t-shirt and, you know, a pair of long pants and just went for it. So it's a historical organization, and it is really cool to see all those old cars. What do you think, Ricardo?
And since we're talking about old cars, the same weekend at Baton Willow, you have the British Festival from Vintage Auto Racing Association. So if you want to see British cars racing on the racetrack, that would be a great opportunity, great camaraderie, great ambience. They have also on Saturday, they have a car club meet, usually, you know, Triumphs, MGs, Jaguars, and so forth. So that's another event that is within a couple hours from downtown LA. But if you have not been a Baton Willow lately, you'll be surprised. There's new asphalt. Now there is a third, you know, a whole new racetrack next to the one that we already know very well.
Where did they put that?
It's right next to, you know, that street. What is it called? You get off the freeway and you make the left.
Yeah.
And you pass the entrance to the racetrack. And if you were continuing that street, that's where the new racetrack is at.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is a Tesla charging station as well.
Oh, okay.
That's very important.
Neat.
To know.
I haven't been up there since they did that. So have you driven on that? Have you raced on that yet?
No, they have not done an event yet. The asphalt is down. They're finishing all the berms on the corners and the catch fences and all that. But looks like this year there will be activity on the new track.
Okay, good. That's technically the end of our calendar section. I'm just going to throw out a couple more really quick. The Automobile Driving Museum in El Segundo on Sunday, May 12th, again, has Mother's Day ride. So you make a reservation, take mom for a ride in a classic car. That will be lots of fun. Mom will thank you. She'll forgive you for all your wayward deeds way back in the day. Also, one more event, Beatlemania. That's May, like the month of May. Beatlemania, Breakfast with the Beatles, May 19th at the JD Cafe, 1843 West Main Street in Alhambra. And that is it for our calendar section. We're going on to the second trimester of the show with news. And Michelle is going to lead us in with a couple of legal items. Michelle is a lawyer, I remind you, so be careful what you think while she's talking.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark. Yes, this is two things have to do with freeways. All right. So the first one is, if you get into an accident on a freeway, the public agency basically that has jurisdiction over the freeways is CHP. And they're the ones who will write up your report if you decide that you'd like one after an accident. They're kind of changing things up a little bit, where it used to be that if you got in an accident, they would hand you a little business card and they would say, all right, you can go in about a week and go to the district office for this CHP area and you can pick up a copy of your traffic accident report. Well, now they're going to give you a little card that's going to have a QR code on it, or you can go to a website, and they're starting this right away. They just started in April. And so if you have an accident, don't get surprised if you get a QR code or you go to the website, because this is actually making things a lot easier, saving you the trip. You don't have to go over to the district office anymore to get a copy of your report, which you're going to need because your lawyer's going to want it. Your insurance company is going to want it. And your doctor might even need it for some reasons. So you need to make sure you always get your report after an accident. It's super important. Sometimes there's mistakes, and especially if you show it to your lawyer, then talk to them about the accident. Sometimes you find mistakes. So you
this
really
is a big improvement
get it.
Over- This
yes.
is a big improvement over what they used to have.
Definitely. If you want the website for their online portal for this, it's called crashes.chp.ca.gov.
Okay. Then the best thing is to not get into an accident.
Yes. However, you know, if people didn't get in accidents, I wouldn't have a job. So
so do your part is what Michelle is saying.
Yes,
get out there and
you know, I could probably do a whole segment on what you should do after a traffic accident. But for this, you know, segment here, just the thing is, make sure you always get your report and don't sit on it. Don't wait. You're going to need it to, you know, handle your accident properly, because you never know. You might get sued. So yeah. You're going to need that report.
Did you at any time carry one of those small cameras? Remember the ones that were cardboard cameras that you carry
yes.
in the glove box just in case you were in an accident?
Of
Am
course
I
did.
That?
No, I did. Well, I was a young lawyer, so I always told everyone to get those disposable cameras. Yeah, I had one.
You ever use it?
Yeah, I did actually. When I was with my parents in Palm Springs, we got rear-ended and I went out and took all the pictures. Yes.
And did you resolve that case?
Oh yeah, it never went to a lawsuit. We got it resolved right away. Yeah.
Okay.
That's when I knew what my calling was.
Yeah. Now everybody has those onboard cameras that record everything all day and all night. Well, actually, I don't have it, but
those
are very helpful. Do you recommend those?
Yes, I do. In fact, I have a case right now where the accident was captured on dash cam, and it is really, really helpful. It is super helpful. And sometimes the officers who respond will go around and ask the businesses if they have surveillance cameras. But unless it's a liquor store, I found this in a lot of situations, unless it's a liquor store, which has really good cameras and they make sure that they're working all the time, it's very hit and miss for the cops to actually be able to download some footage. So yeah, the dash cam is highly recommended. And then of course, use your cell phone and take pictures of everything, even stuff you think that doesn't matter. It really does make a difference.
Okay.
In being able to speedy resolve your case as opposed to dragging on because no one can figure out what happened.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good advice. And you got some more information about the stripes on the 5 freeway. What
yes.
are you talking about there?
This is a situation where people are asking, why am I seeing orange and white stripes on the 5 freeway in the north part of San Diego County? Well, Caltrans has decided that this is an important kind of experiment for them to find out if people slow down for the cone zone. You know, the cone zone is where the construction right. workers are.
Yeah.
So they do have signs that they've been using forever to warn you that construction is going on around the freeway and to be careful. But this is an additional program that they put into effect in North San Diego County, and they found that it works. So it's coming. It's going to be coming north. They're going to be putting it in Orange County and going all the way up through LA. So if you Good. See the orange and white stripes, you'll know what it is. It means you need to be careful of construction workers.
So they're only in place at construction sites. It's not anywhere else.
Caltrans sites, yes.
Caltrans sites, okay. And those are, I guess, temporary, and they remove them. Like, I wonder how they remove them. I wonder how they make them stay down. Do they glue them down? Who knows?
No, it's paint. So they just go ahead and, take away the orange when it's over.
Orange looks cool. I like orange Camaros and orange Mustangs, and I don't know. I'm a fan of orange De Tomaso Mangustas, if there are any. I don't know. And Ricardo's wearing an orange t-shirt right now. I'm not just pandering to you, Ricardo.
I saw that.
A Freightliner t-shirt. He's got a Freightliner shirt.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a McLaren. So.
No, that's papaya. That's not.
Oh, mango. Yeah, yeah.
That's papaya. Yeah, okay. Another thing that happened I think last week, was the celebration of the life of driver, crew chief, team owner in drag racing, Roland Long. Now, I say Long, it's L-E-O-N-G, so apologies to anybody who actually knows how to pronounce that. He was a great guy. I got to talk to him a couple times covering drag racing over the year. He passed away, and he was honored and remembered by nearly 500 friends and family. Now, I don't think when I go that 500 people are going to show up unless I owe them money. But Roland was such a well-loved character, such a great feature in drag racing that 500 friends and family showed up to honor him. He was known as the Hawaiian because he was from Hawaii. And he started out drag racing. His folks didn't like the risk of drag racing, so he became sort of a crew chief, and then he became a team owner. Very successful. They all gathered at the Lions Automobilia Foundation and Museum in Southern California, and they had luminaries. If you're into drag racing, you'll know these names. Jack Beckman, who was a champion himself. Don Prudhomme, Don the Snake Prudhomme, one of the great names in drag racing. Ron Capps, another great name. Mike Dunn was there. Let's see. Steve Gibbs, who was worked at the NHRA, I think, for 30 years, from very close to the beginning, if not the actual beginning, all the way up until fairly recently. He was quite a fixture there running things. So over 500 people. And Phil Burgess, of course, of National Dragster, was there. And I think you can see the write-up at NHRA.com. You can also go to the Lions Automobile Museum yourself. It's open Saturdays and Wednesdays from 9 to 2. It's in Rancho Dominguez, California. That's sort of next to Compton, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard. Go check them out or look at their website, lionsautomobilia.org. They've got the Lions drag strip recreated inside the museum. So it's quite something to see. Another guy who was honored, who is still with us, luckily, Sir Jackie Stewart was honored at the Road Racers Drivers Club in Long Beach on April 18th, an evening with Sir Jackie Stewart presented by Firestone, of course, the great racing tire maker. And they had 400 guests there. I guess if he had not been alive, it would have been 500. But if you're still alive, you don't get quite as many people to show up. They had champion race car drivers there. Bobby Rahal is always there. You never know who's going to show up. And it was apparently quite a nice time. It was the 14th annual banquet, celebrate the legends of motorsports. And Jackie Stewart, of course, is one of the great legends. He was a three-time Formula One world champion and was also campaigner for safety. And a lot of the safety changes that have been made in racing are due to the efforts of Jackie Stewart. So he was well-deserved honors there at Long Beach. And then we also have the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America. It unveiled its 2025 induction class. Now, I know this Hall of Fame because a couple of years ago, they inducted Auto Week alumni Denise McCluggage, who sadly passed away probably, I'm going to say, boy, almost 10 years ago. The induction class this year for the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America is Skip Barber. Of course, we all know him. He was a driver, but he is more famous for his driving schools. A guy named Miguel Duhamel, who was a motorcycle racer. Carl Haas, of course, the great team owner. Ed Iskandarian, still with us at 102 years old. He might be 103 now. He is in that class. Dale Jarrett, the great NASCAR driver. Tony Schumacher, who is currently listed as a drag racing guy, made his name in NASCAR, but also raced in the IRL and others. And the great local hero, Bill Stropp, who was responsible for so many great successes in La Carrera Panamericana and in desert racing. It was Bill Stropp who convinced Parnelli Jones to drive in the Baja 1000, which Parnelli won 2 years in a row. That's your Motorsports Hall of Fame of America class of 2025. They are going to be that was a ceremony in Daytona Beach, Florida. So that's coming up. And now it's time. Oh, we're a little bit early. We ran out of news items. What other news do we want to talk about?
I just wanted to mention something that perhaps a lot of people are not aware, but this bridge collapse at the Port of Baltimore, it's really affecting the automotive industry because almost a million cars were delivered to that port. And now they have to be diverted to different ports. I mean, it's a logistics nightmare. And I would imagine that some European car makers are going to suffer some extensive delays in getting the inventory to the dealerships. So if you had a car on order or if you're waiting for a specific color to arrive, unfortunately, it's going to take a little bit longer. And that's a lot of cars. That is a significant... Yes, Mark.
They have dug a channel now, and the first container ship has gone through. So shipping has resumed through a little space where they had cleared out enough of the bridge wreckage. Try and say that backwards. And it seems it's not back to normal, but they are at least getting cars in and out of there. So maybe you have to pay more for your Mercedes-Benz or something, or your BMW or your Audi.
My idea is just to fly to Maryland and drive it back.
That's a great idea. What car? You're buying a car? This is news. It's not a Mazda.
Okay, wait a sec. We're car people. Aren't we always looking?
That's we right. Always, that's right.
Always looking. Hey, one other thing that I just got back from Toyota is still claiming that hydrogen is the future. And I just spent several hours down at the Hydrogen headquarters, a new building that used to just be Toyota R&D. It's in Gardena, right next to the freeway. And it has been renamed H2HQ. Get it? H2 is the symbol for hydrogen, HQ headquarters. I thought that was kind of a clever name. And that is, I just sat there and listened to them talk about hydrogen is the future. And I even asked, isn't that kind of an inefficient way, you know, well to wheel, as they used to call it, even though hydrogen doesn't come from a well? Well, it can if you have to reconstitute or reformulate natural gas to make it. So that is...
I think it will have its applications, because we know, for example, on the commercial vehicles, it doesn't matter. You can push electric all you want, but it's just not practical at all. When you add 14, 15, 16 or 19,000 pounds of battery weight to move other goods, and how much energy you're going to need to power these trucks. So hydrogen, it might be an option in that field. And we'll have to see. I know that Toyota has a partnership with Packard, which is Kenworth and Peterbilt, and they have a fleet of Kenworth's hydrogen trucks that have been servicing the ports of Southern California for almost 10 years now. So they have gathered quite a lot of information, and it looks like that might be something that might be feasible for commercial transportation.
That was one of the things that they talked about, that it wasn't just light-duty cars like the Mirai, that they see a use for hydrogen in all kinds of things. And they said light-duty fuel cell applications is one of them. Heavy-duty fuel cell opportunities like Class 8 trucks, like you're very familiar with, Ricardo, having worked in that industry for many years. Stationary fuel cell power generation. They showed a demo of a fuel cell power generating plant that you could lift up with a forklift. It was much smaller than a shipping container. It was probably the size of a couple of refrigerator boxes next to each other. You put enough hydrogen in there and out comes electricity. And one thing that they touted was port vehicle applications. Now, I'm going to go down to the port tomorrow and see some of these applications. And they're talking about a flexible microgrid. And they're going to power that building by this flexible microgrid using hydrogen as the source for the fuel.
I have to say, Mark, that I was not even planning or thinking about it. But last weekend, I was waiting to get into a restaurant, and there was a line. And right across the street, there was a hydrogen station. It's right on Sepulveda. And so I saw a car that it just parked there to, you know, recharge the vehicle. And then I got very curious to see, well, how long is it going to take him to recharge, right? I mean, I know how long roughly it takes for an electric car, that if you have a fast DC charger, you will be out there probably 15, 20 minutes will be enough. But I have to say that this man took almost at least 20 to 25 minutes before he could move. And then I thought, well, there's really no difference here between an electric and a hydrogen. So for light duty applications, I'm not sure that it's really something to look for.
I had a couple of years ago, I had a long-term Toyota Mirai fuel cell electric vehicle, and I got to know all the fuel cell, the hydrogen stations in California, probably because I went all the way up on the hydrogen highway, all the way from LA to Lake Tahoe. You can refuel all the way there. And by golly, I did it. And half of the stations were non-functional at any given time. There are only about 40 or 50 stations anyway. Shell just pulled all their stations. They closed them all down because I guess they couldn't make money off it. They did not see a future in hydrogen. And this is Shell, company that makes fuel for various cars, trucks, whatever else you have. You are right when witnessing that. Now, had that station been fully pressurized with enough hydrogen and enough pressure to load it in there to the guy's car, it could have been fueled in less than 4 minutes. And when I encountered stations that had enough hydrogen and enough pressure, it was less than 4 minutes. So it is possible to do. My other beef with hydrogen is that almost all of it, I think probably more than 99% of it, is that we are using right now comes from the reformation of natural gas. That's the same stuff that comes out of your stove to cook your steak dinner is natural gas. So they take this natural gas and they have to heat it up to like 900 degrees centigrade. And then again later to 700 degrees centigrade. And in that process, they're releasing CO2 into the atmosphere, the very thing that we are trying not to do. So while it is theoretically possible to get hydrogen using, electrolysis from clean electricity, you know, solar power, wind power, hydropower, it is not being done yet. So we are talking about a distant future, in my opinion, but we'll see. Who are we to say no to an element? The most common element in the universe. So if you're at the Horsehead Nebula, be sure and fill up. Michelle, what do you think?
Oh, I was going to ask, did Toyota's people address the issue of the fact that Japanese people are being heavily pushed by their government to accept this as the technology for their passenger cars? And is this something that is driving this initiative for them here in the U.S.? Is it just because they're being told they have to do this, or is this something they're really thinking is great for California?
I was not aware that they are forcing the Japanese to drive hydrogen cars, so I did not ask that question. But
okay.
I did ask them, you know, why go through all these extra hoops to get hydrogen and put that in your car, your truck, your Class 8 big rig? And they, every one of them, they had been media trained to death. And so every one of them gave the same answer. We see a number of possibilities with hydrogen. It's not just light duty vehicles. It is part of I forget the word they use, but they all use the same word. Mm. It's part of a portfolio of options for future travel. What do you think, Ricardo?
A couple of years ago, I did a feature article about the Toyota trucks that are going to be mining at the moon, and those were hydrogen powered.
And where do you get the hydrogen on the moon?
I guess you will ship it.
The irony, one of the many ironies, is that the sources of this reformulated natural gas sourced hydrogen, I think there's one in Thousand Palms and there's one in Las Vegas, and they truck it in diesel trucks. They truck it out to all these 50 or so stations and they blast it in there. And then when they're done, they drive back and get another load of hydrogen. It's, you don't want to sound like the guy who laughed when the horses were replaced by cars just out of ignorance. But at the same time, I don't see the physics of this. I was an English major, so maybe that's part of the reason, but I just don't see how the physics are going to pencil out on hydrogen. I remain unconvinced. Whereas electric cars, I'm an electric car slappy. So who knows?
Yeah. And Ricardo and I are sitting here going, ugh.
You don't like electric cars.
No, I think you hate
Mother Earth.
I think we're damaging Mother Earth trying to get the rare minerals to make the batteries and make the electric cars. So,
so we need to find a better way.
Well, we're damaging Mother Earth by getting oil out of the ground.
So we need to find a better way to make these batteries for the electric cars.
I think we need to think of, let's not be greedy. I'm sure there are plenty of inventions out there to be able to replace the power plants that we have today. And even
fish carburetor.
Yes. And we could be making 100 mile per gallon vehicles today. We have that technology. We choose not to do it. So I think it goes beyond what it's feasible to do or not. I think we'll continue with these struggles as long as we do not understand that we are one, meaning one race in a blue spaceship going 80,000 miles an hour, and we need to manage the resources that are within this blue sphere that we live on.
Well said. Well said.
Wow, Ricardo.
Elsewhere on the blue sphere, it is time for us to talk about car reviews. And we were going to talk. Now, I have to warn you, Ricardo, I just realized we were going to talk about the Aston Martin Vantage, which I drove last week. And I cannot say that it was a screamingly good time, because that would be to blow the embargo. But I can't talk about that. So maybe Maybe we should hold off.
We can hold on that.
We can hold off on that, and instead we'll talk about the Hyundai Tucson N.
Hey, in line, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you were telling us about your experience with the electric N,
right?
And now I had the experience of another N, a completely different vehicle, a family vehicle. This is the Tucson, which is a sort of a compact SUV, good for five people, very, very roomy inside. And they have a hybrid version, and this hybrid version comes with a 1.6-liter turbo that generates over 200 horsepower, 226, as the spec said. But it's very, very zappy. I mean, I was surprised how quickly it reacted. And I have to say, in today's vehicles between Toyota and Hyundai, I don't know who makes a better hybrid. They're both so, so good. I mean, I'm getting 38, 40 miles per gallon, you know, driving here in the city, which is quite amazing for the size of the vehicle. And what's different about the N, it's not that it's so sporty, but the N is the trims. It's pretty much a black interior with red piping all around, different wheels, a little touch of sportiness here and there, but it's not really so what I would call a sport version of this SUV. But I'm very happy. I find it very easy to navigate all around town. I like this bigger screen that they have, and which is pretty easy to use. And they also have buttons and switches, so you don't have to depend 100% on your touch screen, which I think is a plus, because I'm always worried about if the screen for whatever reason stops working, then what do you do? And it happens with our phones. It happens with our laptops. It happens with our computers. So it's good. It's only a matter of time before it happens in your car. So I'm glad that manufacturers are using these. Yes.
Now, you drove the N. That's N as in Nancy, Naugahyde, November. Was that just the N line with the unique exterior? So it was not the N in the Nam Yang trim, where it's like the motorsportsy version of this. This was the inline with the unique exterior, inline sport combination seats, as you talked about. Okay. Right. And inline 19-inch alloy wheels. So the one that we talked about last week was the performance version, and this is the sporty looking version.
Right. But we were talking about the Ioniq, which was a fully electric car, and this is a hybrid.
Right.
Pricing, it starts around 36,000 or so. It's an all-wheel drive version, and it can top up around 40, 45. So you have to be very careful. I think I'm not sure that the N line is worth the extra $3,000-$4,000. I think the base hybrid, it's a better package for every day, especially since the upgrades are only what I will say visual,
cosmetics
more than anything else. So I will suggest to look at the base hybrid model where you can save some money and still have the same performance.
Decent enough. I mean, for mileage, it gets 37 miles per gallon combined, and from its 1.6-liter turbocharged gasoline direct injection four-cylinder hybrid. Is there anything that they left off of that? It's direct injection turbo hybrid. I think the only thing missing was a nuclear power in that combination.
That's right. Because it's also an H-Track all-wheel drive and has variable timing as well.
Hyundai was a real pioneer in gasoline direct injection, which is a much more efficient way to do the combustion process. Of course, so is turbocharging, and so is hybrid. So if you think about it, for $36,655, that's a lot of technology in there.
And it's very comfortable. What I like about it is very comfortable. I mean, you got plenty of visibility. So I like the interior layout, that it makes you feel like you're in a very spacious environment. You can fold the seats to create, you know, a huge trunk. So I would say this is a car that I will, you know, strongly recommend for someone that is looking for a family car. Hey, go check it out. Compare with the other offerings from other manufacturers.
Something else to keep in mind whenever you get a Hyundai is their warranty is the best in the business. And so they stand behind their cars, and it's basically a no worry thing for 10 years.
Yeah. 10 years, 100,000 miles, powertrain limited warranty. Yes, Ricardo.
Is it on the Hyundai or the Kia, the 10-year 100,000?
I'm looking at it here, and it's also on the Hyundai. So.
It's both. Okay,
so it's both. Yeah, and there are a bunch of ways to look at that. There's the 10-year 100,000 miles powertrain limited warranty, but you also get new vehicle limited warranty, 5 years, 60,000 miles, anti-perforation, which isn't really a problem here in Southern California because we don't have any salt and snow on the roads, but that's 7 years unlimited miles. And you get 5 years unlimited miles of roadside assistance. So they're seeking to reassure people because, you know, many years ago, Hyundai had issues, shall we say, with reliability. Those are in the distant past, as far as I know, from what I can tell. So, but you still get this very reassuring warranty. So
I do remember the first Hyundai products. And yes, I felt bad for some of the consumers that had those cars because sometimes were simple issues, but you could see there was a manufacturer that was not ready at that time to.
When was that? That was the 80s, right?
Yeah, it was the 80s.
What was the name of that model? It was a hatchback.
The Pony.
It was called the Pony in other markets, but it had its own name here, and I'm blanking.
I'm trying to think what was the but there was I know it as a Pony, but I don't remember it had a bad. It was just so simple.
People are screaming at the radios across. It's the Badger. It was the Badger. No, it wasn't the Badger.
One of the problems that they had was the temperature sensor that turned the fan on, you know, to cool the engine.
Yeah.
And that sensor will fail. But, you know, if you just don't notice when you're on the freeway, then all of a sudden, you know, it will be overheating. And it was very simple, very easy to fix. But, you know, you did not expect the sensor to fail. Anyway, I have to say that the Hyundai Group have done an outstanding job in these last 20 years in the United States.
They
have proven that, you know, their quality is, you know, today it's top. And I have to give a lot of credit.
I think we went there about 15 years ago and we saw the Namyang Proving Grounds and the research R&D Center, and they just had dynos everywhere. And like I say, I was really impressed that they were pioneering in gasoline direct injection, which at the time, almost nobody was. What do you think, Michelle?
The first Hyundai sold in the U.S. in 1986 was the Excel.
Excel, that's it.
Excel.
I just looked it up on Google. Thank you, Google.
Thank you, Google. Yeah. The Excel. That was the one.
And it was not on a spreadsheet. No. Now, also something that we're talking about in general about Hyundai, this is many years ago, and perhaps, Mark, you also visited the first plant in Alabama, which was fully automated.
Never been
and there. I was just, believe me, to me, it was science fiction. Walking into a huge, huge building where machines pretty much were making the car. And there were just a hunk full of people walking around and they were checking on the computers, but I could see the steel roll coming off the truck and then from there going into the presses, make the body, the welding, the body, etc., going through the paint section, and there was just no people working on the cars. And I thought at that time, wait a minute, this is a foreign manufacturer in the United States having the most updated, you know, the most advanced plant. How could this be? So from that moment, I thought, these people are very serious about their quality and they're really working long term.
Another car company, a transplant that is making its own cars here in the United States is Volkswagen. And Michelle just drove one of them. Which one was it, Michelle?
Right. So today I got the Atlas 2024, which I think Ricardo has had. Yes. It's called the Atlas Peak 2.0 SEL model. And this is a three-row Volkswagen. And I was taken aback when it was delivered to my driveway, how big it is. It is so spacious inside. And it barely fit. I was giving props to the guy who delivered it. He did an excellent job of backing it up. And I said, I can't believe you got this big thing in this little area here. And he said, that must have great backup cameras on it. And sure enough, it does. It's for the size of the vehicle. Yeah. It had to compensate somehow. And it has excellent backup camera, side camera, above camera, you know, above view. What do you call those?
I don't know.
360 degrees.
Oh, the bird's eye view.
The bird's eye bird's from eye above.
Where they put a downward facing camera in the outside mirrors and they put downward facing cameras front and rear so that it looks like a view from up above. Yeah, very
there you go. So it's great. Huge panoramic roof with a lot of room for things to store in the cabin. It had the USB-C ports, which I noticed right off the bat. And technology, I felt like he had the air conditioning on. Okay. So I'm a girl, so I hate air conditioning, right? So the first thing I hate it. Okay. First thing I always do is turn off.
You also hate electricity and television and other things, or just
I never turn on my air conditioning ever. Okay. Even when it's 100, I don't turn it on. So I always turn it off. So the first thing I had to do is, oh my God, turn off the air conditioning. So I had to go through a couple of functions. And you know, he just left the car. They never give you directions.
Oh, so it wasn't explained, and it wasn't a simple thing. You have to go through the screen.
Yes, I had to go through the screen.
Don't you hate that?
And so that was a thing. Yeah, and I did figure it out. So it wasn't completely counterintuitive. If a blonde could figure it out, it can't be that bad, right?
Well, if you owned the car, though, you would have that figured out right away, and so you would know how to do it. But you would still have to go through all the different steps on that screen in order to get to the HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, which I don't think is right. I think, as you said, Michelle, there should be a couple of dials for that, a couple of dials for, I don't know, does anybody listen to a radio anymore, or is it all on the Spotify, as the kids say, so. I don't know, but I think leaving a few dials out there is a good thing.
Yes.
But your Ricardo?
One of the things that I like about this new version of the Atlas is the interior, how the designers have transformed it into a much more, I would say, premium vehicle. And that's something that really, you know, it struck me the first time that I had an opportunity to drive the new 2024. Definitely the interior, it's a premium level, and you get that feel. And also that third row, the seats all the way in the back, actually adults can sit on those seats. It's not just little kids.
Exactly. So they're big.
You lose a little bit of the trunk space, but, you know, you gain that if you really need the space for adults to sit there, it's possible. It's very
They are. They are very, very comfortable seats. And you get similar to the Hyundai, you get a turbocharged 2.0 liter TSI engine. Now, TSI, who knows what that stands for? Because I'm going to tell you in just a second. Turbocharged stratified injection, a type of turbocharging that sort of usurped the turbocharged fuel stratified injection. So,
perfect for transporting mother-in-law to Paso Robles.
There you go.
Okay. And we hope you all go to Paso Robles and everything works out as we suggested, that you go to all these events and that they're all actually happen and it doesn't get rained out. So we're going to, we're out of time here, believe it or not, at the car show. We're going to see you next week at the same bat time, same bat channel, 90.7 FM. On the car show. Thank you.
To engage in any activity
that shall contribute
to a lasting understanding
between nations and between the individuals of all nations,
races, creeds, and colors.
To gather and disseminate information
on the causes of conflict
between any and all of such groups,
and through any and all means
compatible with the purposes of this corporation,
to promote the study of political and economic problems,
and of the causes of religious, philosophical,
and racial antagonisms.
That is our mission.
This This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for your donations and overwhelming support of this listener-sponsored community radio, KPFK. It is the support of listeners like you that keeps this station strong, fiercely independent, and powered by the people. Thank you from all of us at Pacifica Radio's KPFK 90.7 FM.
Rethinking Heroes with Carrie Harrison.
KPFK is the first in the nation to talk to tens of thousands of veterans whose issues are our issues. Whether it's peace of mind, health care, crushing medical debt, or life after duty, we cover it all each Friday morning at 9 a.m. on Rethinking Heroes, a unique show that deals with everything, and most importantly, finds real-world solutions that not only benefit our veterans, but can shortcut obstacles for the rest of us, too. Get this, in the name of